This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you an exclusive interview with S. Somnath, Chairperson, ISRO and Space Commission and Secretary, Department of Space on National Space Day. The interviewer is Balanagendran D., Akashvani correspondent.
Today we are celebrating National Space Day. On 23rd August 2023, Chandrayaan-3 had a successful soft landing at the South Pole of the Moon and made India to be the first country in the planet to do so. We are going to talk more about the successful Chandrayaan-3 mission and the significance of National Space Day and the future space expeditions that are in the pipeline.
I am joined by an expert who led the team from the front, the representative of the brilliant minds that make all of us proud time and again, Mr. S. Somnath, Chairperson, Indian Space Research Organization. Sir, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Sir, actually, I would like to start from your experience. As a citizen of this country, we were praying, but you there sitting in the hot seat, not only as the citizen of this beautiful nation, but also as a scientist and as a chairperson who led the Chandrayaan-3 mission from the front. So could you share your experience? How was it?
The experience of that day apart, I believe my experience was on the previous years, working with the team in developing rocket that sent the craft to the moon, working on the Chandrayaan-2 craft, which we launched and had the almost a near miss in the Chandrayaan-2 making a soft land, and also the failure analysis, corrections, improvement to leading up to Chandrayaan-3. All of them, I was part of it. So I knew the system in and out. And on that day when we were sitting to watch the landing, which was more of a commanded and automatic process, we were expecting the best results. There was no doubt about it. In fact, we all declared much in advance that we are going to have a soft landing this time. It came out of the understanding that we got from the previous mission and also the corrections and improvements that we did and the confidence we developed before we authorized the launch. So I was at peace to see the big event happening. But I never imagined the impact that it will create later years after the soft landing, I must admit.
Prime Minister has announced 23rd August to be celebrated as National Space Day with a theme, Touching the Lives While Touching the Moon. So, what is the vision behind this theme?
See, by the time that we started the space program, late 60s, 1968, ISRO was formed. But then, all the time, we created a narrative. Why space technology and capability is important for the nation? For a nation which was just emerging to become a technology powerhouse later years, it was very difficult for us to create a narrative of exploring moon at that point in time. The touching lives was very important. Creating capability for the nation to serve the sectors like the agriculture, the water resources, the disaster management, environment were the top priorities. So we always created applications, satellites and technology suited to that direction. So that precisely is the touching lives. Now, touching the moon came much later in 2008 when we talked about Chandrayaan-1 and going to create a moon saga later, Chandrayaan-1, 2 and 3, the Astrosat, the Mars Orbital Mission, the Exposat, many other scientific missions were planned much later years. And this transitioning from the societal-based services of communication remote sensing also to bring in the elements of exploration and science into it has been a difficult part. And this can happen only when you have reached certain threshold of capability so as to envision future. So it connects, the theme connects the past and the future.
So while talking about Chandrayaan-3, Pragyan rover has found a magma volcano in the young moon. So could you shed some light on that?
So Chandrayaan-3 was primarily designed to create a soft landing capability. But along with that, we had 5 instruments on board. And all the 5 instruments were exceedingly good instruments. Fortunately, after the soft landing, everything worked very well. You would have seen the rover came out very well. It moved on the surface for 100 meters. Then the 3 of the experiments on lander, the Vikram, as well as 2 of them on the rover worked very well. So we collected a lot of samples of data. And one of the papers that came out is what you refer to today, came out of one of the payloads, which looked at the mineral composition on the surface of the moon at multiple locations. I came to understand that there was from 24 locations on the moon. The analysis was done and the analysis indicated a distribution of the elements on the surface, indicated the magma nature of the material, which was very clearly visible because of the multiple local mineralogy mapping that we could do, unlike many other missions in the past where they were single location data analysis. So this gave a much bigger view of the structure of the surface. Also link this information to the origin of the moon, whether it came from what processes. So it also brings into light that the moon was again an active volcanic object in the past. So that is the significance. Along with that, there are other observations we did. One related to the lunar regolith, which looks at the thermochemical phenomena. of course, additional new outcome, it will come soon. We also have measurements of the atmosphere of the moon very close to the surface. We also measured the moon quakes and how that can be interpreted as its inner activity. So all of this, I believe in the coming days, we will have more data. But more important, I want to tell you that we are going to release the entire science data that came out of the moon to the public researchers. It has still been contained with the scientists who created it, the instruments. Now it is going to be open after 1 year lock-in period. It's going to be open to the entire country, maybe also the world.
I'm sure we are going to be over the moon again. I would like to ask you on the way ISRO is planning to celebrate with all of us.
So the events were happening already. The last 1 month, we have been organizing various events with the support of ministries, departments of the Government of India, the higher education departments, the schools education department, scientific ministries departments, as well as other organizations in this country like NGOs, etc. They have been organizing various programs, and we were part of it. Some ISRO scientists were going there, giving classes, lectures, competitions, cartoon exhibitions, science expos, model building exercises, and presentations and hackathons.
Our Honorable Minister for Science and Technology has said, and I quote, that Chandrayaan 3 was a milestone, Chandrayaan 4 and 5 will follow. So I would like to know from you what Chandrayaan 1, 4 and 5 holds for us. And in addition to that, there are endeavors like human to space and establishment of Bharatiya Antariksh Station by 2035, the coordination that is going on with Indian Navy on crew module recovery.
After the Chandrayaan 3 landing, possibly you are aware that our Honorable Prime Minister made a big announcement. It's the announcement was the vision for 2047 for the Amrit Kal, specifically on space. And this announcement contained various elements. One, that we are going to build a Bharatiya Antariksh Station, putting it a space station 2038-2035 time frame. We are going to send an Indian to moon, land on the moon and bring him back by 2040. So all this requires certain long-term programs. You mentioned about Chandrayaan 3 and 4 and 5 are precursors of these steps that are to be taken to send a human being to moon and bring back. So we have been successful in going and landing, but coming back is another tricky thing, and that is going to be proven in Chandrayaan 4. And we are going to demonstrate a much bigger rover, not the one like the Pragyan, but maybe 10 times bigger than that, how to take it to moon and land and then do experiments, not for 2 weeks, but for months together, how to do that. That's the second experiment of Chandrayaan 5. And we are going to have a human spaceflight program called Gaganyaan, which will send the human to space by next year, and expand that program to build space station and continued presence of human beings, Indians, on that station for next 20-25 years, leading up to the manned mission to the moon. So all of these are part of that long-term vision that has been stated by Honorable Prime Minister.
We have touched Mars, we have shown the world how the South Pole will look like, and then we have also landed at the L1 point of the Sun. So you have highlighted what's next for us. Now talking about scientific temper, improving scientific temper, which is one of the fundamental duties. So how ISRO is collaborating with the nation towards bringing in the children, the youth, women who want to aspire into space science?
See, the success of ISRO has many elements. As you mentioned about our engagement with the scientific community of India, we deal within many layers, as you mentioned, starting from the scientific institutions like the research laboratories in this country who are specifically on space-based research or other domains which are linked to space. Also with the top academic institutions of IITs and all that. Also second-tier and third-tier institutions, we deal with them. We connect with them through our respond and research programs of grants and mentoring. We work with industries to develop indigenous capabilities. We also go to schools and colleges to inspire people. Of course, we cannot work on new technologies development with them, but we can only make them learn, understand. Some of the initiatives to connect with the schools, I will tell you. Every year, we conduct programs across schools, piloted by our centers and units across the country. They take hundreds of schools, especially less privileged places, and go and give classes. We also conduct annual in-residence program for students of 8th and 9th class, come to ISRO and then work. Every year we take 400 students, take it to ISRO, 2 weeks of mentorship internally, visit centers and give them understanding of it. And these are top students of every state are brought here. Then we conduct visiting programs of students to institutions of laboratories which are near to their place. So this is also done by appropriately centers connected to the educational department of the concerned states. We organize these events. We conduct annual hackathon events for students and researchers who are in this space. Two other recent work are, one is a robotic challenge, which has just concluded, and also a space hackathon in which space-based data-based application development, primarily to look at startups and incubation possibility through space data services. So that also concluded. Three of them got prizes, and some of them will be mentored to create industries themselves. And finally, the whole of the space day activity across the nation in all schools, we have distributed materials for them to learn, understand. And possibly you can also look at our website, which will give you methods to learn space and related topics, even to get a certificate going through a course program in through our website for students.
So while talking about the plans and programs, I would like to ask you about the startups. Recently, in a quick span of time, we have received around 300 startups with global potential that have ventured into the space sector. In connection to the space policy of 2023, which augments and the flourish of commercial space activities as well as the entrepreneurial aspect, how do you see this participation of non-government entities?
I'm really thankful to Honorable Minister to bring out that point in the Hurt and Riser. It's a very important topic, how startups are getting encouraged to work in the space sector. We know today there are potential space-based startups across the country. In the last 10 years or so, we could see the fast rise of them, many of them into the application side, a few of them into the rocket building and satellite building. And there is enough of money that is coming into them. Last year itself, almost 1,000 crore has come to these startups. And we see that they have the potential, primarily innovation, new ideas, and second in terms of bringing talents and capturing talents to create new capability, making India a manufacturing hub of space activities.
So we can say that our space economy is booming.
Has the potential to boom. It's yet to happen. So we are only in the early phase of the space sector opening, and the new space policy is going to enable that. For that, we need many, many elements, not only the startups. We also want big companies to invest in space, create a lot of infrastructure, take up the responsibility of manufacturing of space systems that ISRO has been doing so far in industry. We are taking steps for it, like a launch vehicle production, satellite production, etc.
It brings me to ask you on the aspects, especially that has been mentioned in the space policy, is provision of public goods and services using space technology. So could you tell us, how are we going to achieve this?
Through many things. You know, space can do many things. For example, it can do communication, it can do remote sensing, it can do P&T services, it can do strategic activities. So you talk about goods and services. It's one of the services. For example, P&T services can do logistic services. Through mapping services, you can help them to plan resources. Communication is essential for all of this. So I can tell you, space becomes an integral part of all our infrastructure development. So space technology is nothing but national infrastructure.
My ultimate question, sir. Your message to the budding children, youth and women who aspires to be in space science. How do you think that the space education and innovation is going to help? What's your message?
See, space is, there is nothing called a space domain without the fundamental understanding of physics, chemistry, mathematics, biology. So you need to be good at science. You must understand the interaction between science and the everyday life. So you need to become passionate about some domains in science and technology. I can only advise young people, be very creative, innovative, learn your subject very well. Space definitely has an opportunity for you, but we can't take all of you into the space technology area alone, because there is a limited domain. But there is a huge amount of other opportunities, you know, available in this country. For example, electronics development. It's an integral part of space technology capability. You can work on, you know, additive manufacturing, artificial intelligence and robotics. You can look at data processing activities. All of this has some connection to space. So I can only tell that today, technology savvy generation, if you are able to create, it will be very good for our country and economy. So I will only say, you look at space as an inspirational element. See the success that we have done in space with the limited resources. It can be duplicated at many, many areas.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to an exclusive interview with S. Somnath, Chairperson, ISRO and Space Commission, and Secretary, Department of Space, on National Space Day. The interviewer was Balanagendran D., Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.